lazy days of summer have arrived, and with them, the opportunity to travel and see new places.
Maybe you're headed abroad to Paris, the City of Lights, and home of the 2024 Olympics. Or perhaps your journeys are taking you south of the equator to Peru for an epic hike to Machu Picchu, or to Bolivia to see the salt flats of Uyuni.
Or maybe like us, you're finding your travels are closer to home on the trails of a national park, like Mount Rainier, Shenandoah, or Yosemite.
From hikes to hotels to the best spots to eat, Moon Travel has you covered.
From excellent first-hand experience from authors who are local to the areas they are writing about, to wonderful maps and great recommendations, Moon Travel Guides give the reader so much more than other travel guides on the market.
That's right, and we are so excited that this year we are again partnering with Moon Travel.
Through this partnership, through the end of 2024, our listeners can get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when they use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's code GAZE24, GAZE24, for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library, and you actually will not find this deal anywhere else, everybody. Head to our show notes to check it out and see Moon's entire collection of guidebooks.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips, but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings may take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel Guides have you covered.
Head to moon.com and use code GAZE24 at checkout to open up the world of possibilities for your next trip.
Moon Travel, let your heart be your compass, let Moon be your guide. What are some games that we bring with us that are not car specific games when we are on trips?
My kids. Okay, we have to tease this out for a second.
Sure.
So, we say this all the time to each other.
My kids.
But what we are referencing is people who, specifically, like people in like work circumstances, who whenever they ask for you to come up with a creative answer, like the only answer they give is
My kids.
When they're like, what's a fun fact about yourself? My kids, I have three kids. And in our imaginations, all these people are Southern. What is your favorite color? My kids. Mm-hmm. I watch them color all the time and I love it. It's like they can find any way to just make their
redirect,
kids the answer.
Just redirect, right? To your children.
Talk to me about someone in history that you respect that like is your hero.
My kids.
They are my heroes every day.
And they live in history.
Right? This was born out of the fact that I was in like a work group exercise at like a conference, and there was literally a person who kept doing this. Like, no matter the question, that was the answer. Mm-hmm. My kids. And this person was Southern. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that is where that comes from. My kids. Mm-hmm. Okay, but games that we bring that are not car games.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we do like the deep question games.
We do like those.
We have a few
of
those.
We're not really strangers.
Yeah, we have that one. We've got some loaded questions. We've got, you know, things like hot seats, another one.
Yeah.
But we do love Uno.
Yeah, and Phase 10.
We do love Uno, Phase 10. We also, I mean, we always usually have a deck of cards. Mm-hmm. You and I like to be incredibly old women and play
Canasta.
We do love playing Canasta.
Because we're canasty.
Because we're canasty. That's it.
That's right.
It was like one old broad taught this old broad how to play Canasta. And I was like, this game is so much fun and I love it. Mm-hmm. Every bit of it.
Also, Ohel is great. We love Ohel.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. We do play Ohel.
Yeah.
What is that game that you always want to play all the time that you have? It's cards.
Anomia?
No. No, the other one.
Mealborn?
No, the other one. Oh my God, like you're obsessed with it. Something to do with the clouds, the sky.
Oh, Sky Joe.
Oh, Sky, that's it.
Sky Joe is
You
great.
Love that, and I'm just going to say, I'm sorry, no, time's up on that. I think Sky Joe is not fun.
Okay, well, that's fine.
I mean, I play it.
You do.
It's fine, but I'm just like, it is not, it doesn't hit any buttons for me whatsoever, other than it's like cards that have numbers on them and they're on a table.
Yeah. Farkle's good too. I do like a good Farkle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I've ever played Farkle.
Farkle's a dice game.
Have we played that?
No, but it's easy to bring with.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I don't know that I've ever played Yahtzee either.
I've never played Yahtzee.
Yahtzee. I've said it. It's my a phrase. Kids. My kids. Well, we do like to play Uno, but Uno's better with four people.
Oh, yeah.
On this trip to Shenandoah, we did play a lot of Uno. Mm-hmm.
Cutthroat Uno.
Cutthroat Uno.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can...
get her.
Yeah, that is the phrase we used. I have to say, I borrowed that phrase from like another Uno, like another group of gays.
Oh, I thought it was Drag Race.
No, it wasn't Drag Race. No, it was another group of gays I played Uno with once who started saying that in the middle of the game. And I was like, I can never unassociate that phrase.
With Uno.
With Uno. Oh. So like when, because you're sitting across from somebody and like if somebody plays something on you and you can stack it, you want to like make it as terrible for the next person
well,
as
possible.
Well,
not according to the Uno rules, but. Screw but, those Uno rules.
Yes. Yeah, screw your those Uno your rules, rules are terrible, to the sticking Uno. Place. No, yeah. Thank you. I just was like, no, stacking is absolutely fine, mm-hmm. right? Like, I love it when, like, you play, like, a draw four wild mm-hmm. on somebody, and then somebody else has one, and then somebody, and then oh, by yeah. the time you're done, somebody's drawn 20 cards.
Yeah.
Like, I love it.
Tragedy.
Get.
On the Uno fields.
Get her.
Get her.
Yeah, that's and what we say.
And my kids.
And my kids.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park. At the national park. At the national park. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while visiting the land, also known as Shenandoah National Park, that we are on the traditional and stolen land of the Manahoic people.
So we're just in the Airbnb, playing Uno, boozing, having a few laughs, and then we ran out of ice, so I go out to get some.
Exactly.
If you get that reference, you're gay.
Yeah.
Got it, everybody?
Gay!
You are, and that is just that. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Be proud of yourself. Be proud of
happy
yourself.
Happy pride.
Happy pride mm-hmm. to you. Mm-hmm. That is right. In case you didn't, that was... We are referencing Velma Kelly's solo moment, monologue,
mm-hmm.
in the iconic song Cell Block Tango in the musical Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're gay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you knew that. I don't know if you tuned into this podcast mm-hmm. going like, I wonder if they are
I wonder
gay.
If they're married to women.
No, you didn't say that.
Yep.
I just...
My wife and my kids.
God, after laughing like that, we definitely sound like we're married to women. You're laughing like you speak to the gas attendant at the gas station.
Fill it up with regular,
that,
please.
Yes, you do that voice.
My wife would like some regular gas.
I promised to my wife that I would fill up the with car regular. With regular, please.
Oh, we digress.
I really hope that, like, I really hope somewhere out there someone tuned in and went, no, I don't think they're gay. I think they both have girlfriends. They're both married to women. I really hope I really hope.
And on episode 120, we shattered someone's dreams.
They're gone. The glass ceiling is, well, it's not, it never was glass. It was Waterford crystal the whole time. And it did shatter into tiaras. Mm-hmm. So that's it, everybody. Oh. Happy Pride. Back to Shenandoah. Uh-huh. Okay, so y'all, we're in Shenandoah this episode. We have two other friends with us, Brian and Tino, also married to women. They are not married to each other. They're married to women. No, they are married to each other. And they, all four of us were on this trip together in Shenandoah. We stayed in Luray. In the previous episode, we had hiked the Big Rock Trail. And this time...
Big Rock Falls.
That's what I meant to say. Mm-hmm. Big Rock
Falls. And the Mill Prong Trail, not pond.
Say that again, because prong. I'm sorry. Our listener didn't catch that.
Mill Prong.
It just sounds like you're saying Maprong.
Mill Prong.
Mm-hmm. And we also did the Mill Prong Trail.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so this episode, we're doing Hawksbill Mountain, and we're going to get there in just a moment.
We definitely were living our life at leisure on this leg of the trip. I feel like we hiked pretty heavy in New River Gorge and then had a rainy day our first day, actual first day of hiking the day prior. We just did one trail. It was a lengthy trail, but it definitely gave us some time to come back, relax, and also it was kind of early in the season for major Shenandoah hiking. It was very cold. We kind of needed the day to warm up a little bit before we wanted to get on the trail. So we didn't really jump out of bed at like 5 a.m. like we do sometimes. We definitely waited
for the 5:15.
That's right. We waited for the sun to rise, you know, warm up the earth a little bit. And, you know, all of this just hinged on my boyfriend, the weather, telling us what to do.
Because Mike is in a long-term relationship with the weather, mm-hmm. always checking on where they are, mm-hmm. knowing what's going on. Mike is in no way, in whatsoever, a lover of things like control.
No.
So that's why he has had such success with his with women.
That's it.
So got up later than usual. And today, Hawksbill Mountain is not a dog-friendly hike. So our friend Shay, Brian and Tino's dog, did not join us today on this hike.
Right. It was more of not Hawksbill necessarily, but the hike we were going to do after. That was, I think, less dog-friendly. So that was part of the reason. We made a choice with what day Shay was going to come along and what day he was going to stay. And this was his stay-at-home day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And also he, meaning Shay, had a kind of particular schedule. If he had a hiking day, he needed a break day.
Yeah.
So this all worked out really well. So we got in the car with all of our stuff ready to hike. We went to the Thornton Gap entrance again. This is where we entered in the last episode and also where we entered in episode 118. And we get onto Skyline Drive. Pretty convenient here because it was only about 25 minutes away from the Airbnb. While so much of Shenandoah National Park can be accessed from Skyline Drive and hiking down the mountain range that is there, or in the upper vicinity of Skyline Drive, there are also foothills accessible where one can hike, where you don't actually have to have access to one to Skyline Drive. Like, it's sort of like Skyline Drive runs over the top of the mountain range there. And then when you get on a trail, you're usually headed downward. There are also like roads down there. And you could take a road to start a trailhead there.
Yeah, if you listen to our White Oak Canyon trail. Mm-hmm. Episode from season 2. That is a hike that we did from the base in the foothills.
Also, Old Rag. Yep. You also started the base in the foothills. Mm-hmm. So, Shenandoah National Park, unlike many other national parks, is a place where rather than having like, this is this one trail and this trail starts here and it goes to here and that's it. Shenandoah is more of like, there's a lot of trails here and there are these different spots that you can hike to. And you can hike to them from different places. Like, you could start in the foothills. You could start at Skyline Drive. You could start at this picnic area. Like, there's a lot of different ways usually to get to one spot. Planning a hike in Shenandoah is also sort of like, well, do I want to go from Skyline Drive? Do I want to go from the foothills? Mm-hmm. Do I want to go from here?
Yeah.
Where do I want to start? Yeah. So there's options.
Things to note if you are planning a trip to Shenandoah at some point soon. So that morning, Brian and I had pored over the maps again at our Airbnb before we left to try to figure out what our best routes were going to be, specifically for Hawksbell Mountain. So there are a few ways that you can access the hike to Hawksbell Mountain, but we wanted to add a little bit more to it. We saw that we could park in the general hiking area, hike to the summit, and then hike a loop at the top and come down the same way. And this seemed like it was kind of the most common route to take. We, however, elected to park at this spot, but hike an alternative trail and head to the Upper Hawksbill Trail to access the peak. The first trail we would get on when we crossed the road at the parking area was the Skyland Big Meadow Horse Trail. Yet another horse trail here
no
in
snakes.
Shenandoah, but no snakes because it was
no
cold.
No snakes. Mm-hmm. Y'all, we saw a lot of snakes on a horse trail in Great Smoky Mountains National Park in the middle of the summer. So if y'all are going there, just remember. Yeah, exactly. And they were the big black snakes. Now, they're not poisonous, but they're
big.
Terrifying. And they're fast. So
black racers.
Yeah, literally. Mm-hmm. That's why they got their name. But the but we saw some in the summer on a horse trail. And the horse trails in Smoky Mountains are only kept up by footfall of humans and horses. Here in Shenandoah, the horse trails are a little more kept up.
At least it seems here in the winter time.
Yeah.
The Skyland Big Meadows Trail dips us below the roadway, but it's a fairly gradual decline, and it is really a very wide path through the trees. It's definitely still a cold day here, but the sun is way more present on this hiking day, so it's definitely keeping us happier and warmer here.
It is snowy. There's a little bit of snow here on the ground, a little bit of ice in some of the shadowy areas. But we're on this trail now, and it's not long before we begin to start to climb back uphill and make our way closer to the roadway. And this is where the trail gets a little rockier and a little bit steeper. We definitely have to do a little grunt work, but we keep moving along.
Eventually, as we're hiking, we begin to start to level out a little bit, and the grunt becomes a little bit more gradual. As we get a little closer to where we're going to cross the road, we enter into a tighter thicket of trees that feels either trees or shrubs, as they're all skinny and short. This was kind of almost like a tunnel, it felt like, kind of walking through. And again, everything is bare at this time of the year because it's still very, very early spring.
It brings us to a denser area of forest, which has a lot more snow and is much more in shadow. And in this moment, I was very grateful for the gloves that Brian had loaned me. You can hear all about that in episode 119 and how now, no matter what time of year I go to Shenandoah, I always have gloves.
As we continue on, there's more snow on each side of the trail, and we're basically pretty level with the road as we're getting much closer to our crossing point. It's much, much flatter here, and so any sort of incline decline has leveled off completely. We eventually encounter our last little trail marker that points us across the road to the Upper Hawksbill Mountain Trail.
And with that, let's take our first break. During the months of May and June, we are highlighting the work of LGBT plus outdoors in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
LGBT plus outdoors mission is all about connecting members of the LGBTQ plus community through the outdoors, strengthening the ties of the community, and fostering a love of the outdoors while doing so.
Along with creating community among queer outdoor adventure seekers, LGBT plus outdoors seeks to break down stereotypes and remove barriers for the LGBTQ plus community in what is traditionally a heteronormative outdoor industry. LGBT plus outdoors is committed to not only this, but sustainability practices in the outdoors, including environmental stewardship, inclusivity and accessibility, and collaborative partnerships.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support LGBT plus outdoors this May and June. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
Or go to www.lgbtoutdoors.com/donation form.
All right, in honor of Pride Month, well, we are playing the vault, first of all. So in honor of Pride Month, we're going to put something pretty gay in the vault.
Let's do it.
And I am going to say that you get to put three iconic divas in the vault.
Only three?
Only three.
Oh, this is way too hard. Oh, my God. Well, I'm like, I feel like I have to...
Fill it up with regular blues.
That's it. I feel like I have to preserve history here a little bit. Okay. All right. I'm going to do my best to preserve history. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Three iconic divas into the vault.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, then it's Judy Garland. Donna Summer, and I should probably pick Barbara, but I'm not gonna.
Well, I'm glad that you're preserving history. I'm just picking people I like.
I know that you're gonna pick people you like. And Cher. I have, mm-hmm. There it is.
Cher.
Yeah, so yeah. It's Judy, Donna Summer, and Cher.
Okay, great.
For me.
Great.
And what about for you? You don't have to preserve history because you are going second. I did it for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Fall on your sword.
I will.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put Madonna.
Yes.
Yeah. So she shall be saved as well. I am also feeling like I need to probably put... This is really tough. I realized I walked into this.
It is.
Trap
you
myself.
Set this up.
I set this trap.
You set us both up to fail.
I did. I feel like I should probably put Celine Dion in there as well.
Yeah.
Because she's icon, you know?
She is.
And I think I have to probably put Beyonce. Like, yes, I feel like, yes. I feel like those are my, I mean, Kylie.
Listen,
I'm sorry girl.
Kylie. We want to apologize to Kylie. Mm-hmm. She listens. So we also want to apologize to Gaga.
Yep.
Yep. And to Britney. Also to Whitney.
Yeah.
We are sorry, dear mother. You're yeah. not on the list. We need other gays here to preserve them. Mm-hmm. You know? But
And Dolly. We both
Oh my
Dolly.
God. What? Okay, pause.
Gone forever.
Dolly, the reason the vault exists is because Dolly created it.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So it's Dolly
her,
is
it's her chasing
there.
Rainbows vault.
It's her chasing rainbows. It is the chase. It is exactly what it would
exactly.
be called. This is the Chasing Rainbows Vault.
Mm-hmm.
I was literally wearing a Dollywood shirt earlier today. For the record, Dolly has a museum dedicated to her life and career at Dollywood called the Chasing Rainbows Museum. And it is the greatest thing I've ever gone to. It is incredible. You can actually see the coat of many colors and like the first time she wrote the lyrics down on a piece of paper. I mean, it is incredible. And so, yeah, I would say that, yes, this vault is an extension of the Chasing Rainbows Museum.
There you go. Look at
so
that. Work
Dolly
around.
Is already there.
Work around.
Work around.
And that's the vault.
Again, Kylie, we're really sorry.
Yeah.
We're really sorry, mm-hmm. Kylie. And to the other ones we have forgotten to mention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here we are. And
it's like when the In Memoriam somewhere over the rainbow
I know.
Starts playing.
No. They're just images of Barbara and Gaga.
Yeah.
And Cyndi Lauper.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Anyway.
And Chaka Khan.
Yeah.
And Whitney. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What
All
about
right.
Tina? I didn't even think about Tina.
Oh my God. It's too much. It's too
much.
We are we don't deserve them.
No.
Okay.
Anyway, back to the regular program here.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are hiking up the Hawksbill Mountain Trail. After crossing the road, we end up in another parking lot.
And so this is the lot for the upper Hawksbill Mountain Trail. Now, we could have hiked from here, done the loop at the top, and come down the exact same way. But just as with the other parking lot, we wanted to have some options. So rather than doing a loop, we ended up making this a big triangle kind of hiking morning, essentially, is the way the trail worked out. We hiked the bottom part of the triangle with the Skyland Big Meadows. We were going to hike up Upper Hawksbill for the left side of the triangle, and then we were going to hike down the right side of the triangle back to where we had parked originally.
Yes.
Triangles. Mm-hmm.
Triangles. Mm-hmm. So we encounter a large signboard that talks about air quality and air pollution within the parks, along with explaining Shenandoah and what typical visibility from Hawksbill looks like. It went on to talk about like the excellent visibility without haze and how haze would just further impact views from the park.
This was my dark work.
Yeah, your darkness at work indeed. Mm-hmm. It was something that we've seen at this point in parks before, and it's, you know, it does just go to show you how climate change and air pollution are hand in hand, ruining things.
Yep.
For everyone.
But it's a great, I feel like it's also a great moment to have that pause, especially for, you know, having such an iconic viewpoint up ahead, and to kind of be able to take that in and see like, oh, here are some photos on a pristine day, and here are some photos when it's really hazy, So,
but also like, I really like that they did that, because literally like, the amount of people who were like, oh yeah, I want to drive Skyline Drive so I can look at the views.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, you won't have your views if there's, you know, fog from or smog from all of the industry in the air. You know?
It's true. From our dark signpost, we did set off, and this is where we were going to do most of our elevation gain for the hike. It was about 300 feet of gain from the parking lot to the summit here.
Which is not... No, a lot. It's small potatoes compared to what we did the day before and other things we've done in Shenandoah. There are some people in the parking lot, but for the most part, it's not super crowded, probably because of the cold weather, I would imagine.
And we were there on like a weekday too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the 300 foot elevation gain, we would gain it in like 1 mile, but it was definitely, you know, a decent uphill for sure.
The nice thing about this trail for the upper Hawksbill Mountain was that it was pretty wide and free of boulders and small rocks. It was almost like a very well-manicured, elevated nature path. And it was very wide, which was mostly gravel, but there was sometimes duff and sometimes almost like mulchy material on the ground. So it wasn't so bad on the feet.
So there are a ton of trees here, and there is quite a bit of snow on the ground still. I'm sure it's incredibly lush in the spring. We've never actually seen Shenandoah in full-on spring bloom.
No, mostly summer.
Mostly
fall
summer.
And
we've had
winter.
Some fall in Shenandoah.
Yeah,
gorgeous.
It is.
But as we continue up the path, it gets a little more gravelly. But we're curious to know if this is also like a fire road access road for the mountain, because like the path is wide enough that it, you know, we could all walk side by side, all four of us.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, as we continue up, we start to see bigger sky and the trees start to clear here. It was nice, but good God, this is also where we start to get very, very windy conditions.
We saw a shelter here. It was called Bird's Nest Number 2. After we passed that shelter, we got one of those like gorgeous views, like from Skyline Drive, and you could see like the entire valley below. I do love how in Shenandoah, on any given trail, at some moment, it'll just be like, oh, the shrubs are cut out and you can see for miles.
Yeah.
And that happens all the time, especially like on a trail like this or on a trail like Stony Man.
So from this point where we reach the top near the Bird's Nest Number 2, you basically have to walk to the right because that's not actually the top of Hawksbill. We hung around in the shelter for only a few minutes just because it was cold up at the top of the mountain. But the thing that kind of drove us out from the shelter was that the shelter was completely in shadow. So it was even colder there. Mostly the point of staying in the shelter for a minute was to dodge the wind, because we were just like blown away literally by this wind up at the top of Hawksbill.
It seems like people were coming up the way that we did, because, yeah, there was a sudden influx of people coming and getting the view and heading right back to, you know, the warmth of their cars, not even really walking up to the viewing platform at the summit.
So after the shelter, jogging ourselves to the right a little bit, there are these large boulders that obstruct the view off the side of the mountain. And this eventually opens up again as we reach the viewing platform, which is sort of built into the rock and is made of the hewn stone itself. So it looks like it's natural stone.
And this platform, it had been restored as of 2016. A great viewpoint, and you can really see out into the distance.
The cool thing up here, I mean, aside from the view, which was incredible, is that there are some metal compasses that were built into the walls. This allowed you to be able to get your bearings for where you were, which was definitely much appreciated because Skyline Drive is incredibly windy. And so sometimes you feel a little thrown by distance and also direction.
But this is where, despite the wind, we did take some photos. Tino is a photographer. He took some photos up here, and we had a little photo shoot. It was fun. And then we decided to start making our way back down. And this time we used the path that would take us back to the car.
And with that, let's take our next break.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
Fanny Pack.
Fanny Pack. Pack is spelled P-A-Q-U-E.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Fanny Pack.
Fanny Pack.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So who is Fanny Pack?
Well, I think Fanny Pack is an organizational queen. Like Fanny Pack. Like she knows how to put things in spaces and make things fit.
So
take that for what you will.
Does she do those like does she do those like ASMR videos where they're like putting things into like refrigerator drawers and whatnot? But I want her to do those, and I need them to be a joke of those videos.
Yeah.
So it needs to be like a video like that, but instead it's like, I think it's just like always things that don't make sense. Like opens a fridge and then puts like a bunch of Furbies in like a like a row. Or it's like opens up a drawer in the bathroom and puts like
pasta in it.
Yes, exactly. Right. Exactly. It doesn't make sense. But it all looks really organized. Yeah. It's nonsensical but organization. Organized.
Yeah, nonsensical organization.
And I think that probably like feeds into her her clothing and her fashion aesthetic.
Well, I feel like everything is neon. And like glow in the dark, like black light activated.
Okay. So we're like 80s.
She's an 80s organizational queen.
I love it. I love it. What is her lip sync of choice? If she's 80s, it now has to be an 80s song, I think. Because I was going to say Get Myself Together by Robin, which would be a fun song to do.
I think it's Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
Oh, I like that. That feels like morning routine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I can be into that. Fun. Okay, great. And then what is her merch?
I think it's organizational, like Lucite.
Oh, you mean like acrylic organizational bins? Like the Home Edit ladies have?
Yeah.
But I need her to have some signature thing about them.
I think they're black light activated.
Like, maybe they're not clear. Maybe they're like neon colored, like yellow and purple.
Highlighter yellow. And
right?
Or they're still clear, but just the color.
They're
clear.
Translucent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm aware of what that means. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
Fanny Pack.
So we're making the next part of the trail happen. We're headed down from Hawksbill Mountain. It's the third side of the triangle. It did prove to be a little different from what we'd experienced on the luxury pathway up.
Right. The loop at the top, had we done it, would have taken us back onto the AT for a bit, while the lower section of the loop that we were mainly on was the upper and what we're calling the lower Hawksbill Trail. This descent was steeper than the side we had come up, dropping us about 500 feet in elevation in a little less than a mile. Remember, we had parked on this side, and so obviously the side of Skyline was a little lower than where we started up the upper Hawksbill Mountain Trail.
Okay, it was much windier, but definitely a little more interesting. So I completely understand why one would probably hike this way up and hike the loop and then come back down this. Super easy to do. As we were coming up, the Hawksbill had yellow blazes, and on our way down, they were blue blazes.
This is definitely a great place for one to have poles, as the trail was definitely also much rockier here than our ascent. It wasn't necessarily incredibly steep, but it just was way more craggier here. We all had our poles with us on this day, so it definitely was help for us, especially because there was some icy patches. There was some snow still. It definitely helped us to maneuver our way down.
And then this was where we were playing Spoil a Movie, or Mike, tell us everything about this movie in full detail. And this is where you did The Two Towers.
Right, but at some point we started to talk about that incredibly sad movie, Jack the Bear.
Yeah, and
with
I've
Danny
never
DeVito
seen that
and
movie,
Julia Louis
and
Dreyfus.
I don't need to see it now because you've
told
me about it.
This is when Brian was like, how many times do you think Mike has seen that movie? And you were like, I don't know, probably once.
Just once. Yeah. Right.
Because it's sad. It is so sad.
So sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So as we were hiking down, we do get some great views of the rest of the mountains in the distance through the trees. Again, the thing that Shenandoah always gives one while on any given trail is those surprise beautiful views.
Mm-hmm. And this was, again, lucky for us because while the mountains aren't completely 100% visible, there's some, you know, trees that are in the way. Nothing is in bloom yet. So we were actually able to see the mountains because everything was bare.
On this trail, there were pretty much a lot of straight shots. There were definitely like a couple of spots where it got a little bit bouldery, some ankle twisty moments, perhaps, if you're not being careful. There were also some ice on some of the rocks, making it a little extra treacherous. But just to say, we were extremely careful. Everybody out there, be careful to keep our ankles safe.
Mm-hmm. There is a lot of, you know, as much as they're straight shots, we do have to make our way down pretty deftly and quickly. The sun definitely seemed a lot higher here. It seemed like there were way more people that were heading up the trail as we were heading down. And we essentially were swimming against the tide on our downward progression here.
One of the things we love about hiking with Brian and Tino is that we all got to chat and decide what we were going to do. They're cool people who don't mind doing their own thing, just like we are the same. So what's great is, like, you know, on a trail, you end up in different conversations with like different pairings of people. And I love that stuff.
Mm-hmm. We definitely talked a lot about Uno, hot tubs, and, you know, the town of Luray on our way down.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When we get to the car, because this is a pretty fast descent, even though, you know, it's a little tricky, we de-gear everything and we jump in to get ourselves warm.
So Hawksbill, all in all, is absolutely a sight to see, and it is usually recommended when going to Shenandoah. And the great thing about it is we could really make it exactly the kind of hike we wanted to, and like anybody can, you can make it as short or as long as you want it to be.
And from this hike, we decided that we had one more hike on our agenda while in Shenandoah, and we scooted down Skyline Drive for one last hike on our final day here at Dark Hollow Falls.
All right, let's put collectively this triangle on the Karenstone
scale. So Skyland, Big Meadows, to Upper Hawksbill, to Lower Hawksbill.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it a 4.
I'm going to say 5 only because the descent on the Lower Hawksbill, I found that to be a little treacherous, like a little more than it needed to be. But all in all, I think that's a pretty nice even-keeled little hiking rating there.
I agree. So 9 out of 20 Karen Stones. And we're going to end this episode the way we end all of our episodes, with some Jeopardy-style trivia. All right, Mike, why don't I get us started today?
Great. Sounds good.
Okay, so we're in Shenandoah, and I was inspired by the word shenanigan.
Okay.
We have brought this queen to life before. Her name is Shenan.
Mm-hmm.
And then her last name is again.
Mm-hmm.
This has nothing to do with drag queens necessarily, but I do love the name Shenan again.
Shenan again.
Right. This entire category is you're just trying to identify the synonym for shenanigans.
Great.
Got it? Okay.
Don't patronize me with your Celtic slang.
Correct. For 100, this word, synonymous with conflict or danger, is a word that appears in one of the most famous literary quotes spoken by a witch in Shakespeare's Macbeth.
All I can think of is Something Wicked This Way Comes.
This one starts with double.
Oh, boil and trouble.
Trouble is the word. Okay. It's, so it's double, toil and trouble.
Toil and trouble, yeah.
Fire burn and cauldron bubble. Right. Okay. Correct. Also, it's the title of the Halloween movie.
Mary-Kate and Ashley.
The Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Olsen.
Olsen. Double, toil and trouble. It was a Shakespeare reference the whole time, everybody. Great. Okay, so for 200, this word rhymes with the acronym word for couples who both have jobs and no children. And also sounds like what you might say to greet the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 5 and so far the only winner of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, all winners, making her the queen of all queens.
Jinx Monsoon. Jinx
is the correct. But what would you say to greet Jinx?
Hi, Jinx.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm. Hi, Jinx. Mm-hmm. Okay, for 300, this phrase is most often associated with bedroom fun. And its first word sounds like the cloth that you might keep in your coat pocket and pull out to sneeze into.
What is hanky panky?
That's right. Mm-hmm. For 400, this phrase is often associated with chaotic physical behavior, but sounds like fun that colts and mares might get up to.
What is horseplay?
That's right.
And am I in Horseville? Because I am surrounded by naysayers.
And for 500, mm-hmm. this word is also a homophone for these tiny, unripened flower buds that are used in pasta, seafood, and Greek cuisine that are often purchased in jars.
What's a caper?
Yes, capers.
God, I love capers.
Yep, they're great.
Great. Well, thank you. What a lovely category.
Thank you.
My category is Jack the Blank.
Like Jack the Bear.
Yeah, there it is.
Got it.
So you're just going to name the Jack based off of the clue. So it would be like not Jack the Ripper, but you're going to just give me the last name of the person.
Perfect.
But I'll appreciate it if you answer who is Jack the Blank.
Got it.
This Jack is known for his role on 30 Rock and the film Forgetting Sarah Marshall and as the voice of Fix-It Felix in Wreck-It Ralph.
Who is Jack the McBrayer?
That's correct. For 200, this Jack is best known for films like School of Rock, The Holiday, and for his voice acting in Kung Fu Panda.
Who is Jack the Black?
That's correct. For 300... this Jack is best known for films like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, The Shining, and As Good as It Gets.
Who is Jack the Nicholson?
That's correct. Dusty the Ballard is how I'm going to start responding to you.
I like that.
For 400, this Jack is known for his role in 12 Angry Men, The Odd Couple, and Glengarry Glen Ross.
Who is Jack the Lemon?
That's correct. And for 500, this Jack is known for his songs Upside Down, Better Together, and Bubble Toes.
I don't know if this is true, but I'm going to guess who is Jack the Johnson.
That's correct.
Oh, look at that. Also, Jack the Blank is a great... That's so much fun. Mm-hmm. That was so much fun. Only someone who's gay could have come up with that. This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. And that's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram, on our website, and in the Gaze Shop is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariello Klinger, with Sean Sclios on guitar. This episode was edited by me, Dustin Ballard.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we are on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as Ocean County, New Jersey.